Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. As you look at the major issues facing our world, whether it's the Middle East conflicts or the illegal migration of people into Europe and America, or tensions between superpowers in our world, or the COVID global pandemic, and if you were to be invited to speak to the United Nations, giving your advice as to how to bring peace and hope to our broken world, I wonder what you'd say in your address to the UN. Join me, please, in Acts 13 today. We're following Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark in their journey, attempting to bring hope and peace to the broken world of the first century. The issues facing their world are not all that different from the issues facing ours. Yesterday, we saw Paul deal head-on with a sorcerer who was advisor to one of the top political officials in Cyprus. That sorcerer's life and pattern of advice, as Paul described it, was, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of God?" Now that's straightforward and blunt, isn't it? As you consider the political leadership in your city or your nation, could these words apply? Acts 13:13 is significant. I wonder if you see why. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Up until this moment, Barnabas was the leader of the team. Barnabas had gone to Tarsus and brought Saul to Antioch. A year later, Barnabas had invited John Mark to join them, and soon thereafter, the three of them, with Barnabas as the team leader, had been sent out from Antioch to bring the gospel to places where Jesus was not known. Barnabas led them to the island of Cyprus, his home, I imagine because it would be familiar territory to Barnabas as he led this team. But in a short time, Saul's name has changed to Paul, and he was the one who confronted Elymas the sorcerer in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure Barnabas was wise enough to know Paul was far more educated than he, more trained in spiritual leadership than he, and Barnabas knew Paul had had a personal encounter with the risen Jesus, which changed his life. It was only right that Paul become the leader of this team. Luke reports a dramatic turn of events with only three words. John left them. Luke explains that John returned to Jerusalem, but Luke gives no detailed explanation here as to why John left the team. Was it conflict? Or was John not in agreement with the leadership change in the team? Or was John homesick? Or was there something else? We do know that sometime later, when Paul and Barnabas were considering a second, more prolonged journey, Barnabas again suggested they take John Mark along, but Paul refused. Luke reports, "Paul did not think it wise to take John Mark because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work." Years later, toward the end of his life, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and, among other things, urged Timothy to bring John Mark with him to Paul. Paul wrote, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Friends, aren't you grateful that the Holy Spirit of God can change hearts, heal wounds, and restore broken relationships? Back in Acts 13, Luke tells us Paul and Barnabas left Cyprus, sailed into modern-day Turkey, and went to Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day entered the synagogue there, as was their habit. You may know Jewish synagogues around the world are unified in many ways, and one of them is that they all focus on the same reading of Scripture on any particular Sabbath. In those days, they also had a valued tradition that after the scripture reading, anyone was welcome to stand and express their perspective on the scripture read, especially if they were a visiting rabbi or scholar, as Paul was. So, Luke reports, after the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to Paul and Barnabas, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Well, you don't have to ask Paul twice to speak. He was always ready and anxious for any opportunity. This is why he and Barnabas had been sent to travel to places which did not know Jesus. So Paul stood up and he began to speak. Look around the synagogue. What do you see? Heads are nodding in agreement, smiles of affirmation, as Paul begins telling the great and unique truths of the history of God's blessing of the people of Israel, his chosen people. Paul knew it well. He had studied the Jewish holy books since he was a young boy. He had memorized huge sections of the Torah, the Psalms, and the prophets. But then something changed. Paul began weaving into Israel's history the story of Jesus, and showing how Jesus was the fulfillment of well-known ancient prophecies. Smiles were beginning to turn to furrowed brows, and hands were rubbing chins or stroking beards. What Paul was saying had never been heard before in this synagogue or any synagogue in the region of Pisidia. Paul drew a comparison between Israel's most famous king, David, and Jesus, and especially between David's death and Jesus' death and resurrection. What Paul was saying was staggering to these Jews. Now please notice this powerful statement of Paul. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. Acts 13:36. Oh my, what a powerful summary statement of King David's life. King David's tomb then, and even today, 2,000 years later, is a revered place in Jerusalem. David is held in the highest of esteem, and David's family line is considered the royal family of Israel. Everyone in the synagogue agreed. But the concept that God had a specific purpose for David's life, and when that purpose was accomplished, God brought David's life to an end? I'm sure that statement caused every man in the room to think deeply. What is my life purpose from God's perspective? Am I engaged in accomplishing my purpose? Have I become distracted along the way and drifted from my God purpose? Is my life wasting time? Oh my, so many important questions. My friends, are those questions that you ponder from time to time? What is the purpose for which God conceived you in your mother's womb? Do you remember what God said to Jeremiah when he was pondering his life purpose? Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Is that true for you and me, my friends? While God was shaping and forming each of us in our mother's wombs, according to Psalm 139, did God have a design in his mind and a God purpose for your life? As you reflect back on your life journey, can you discern what that God purpose is for you? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to guide you in understanding God's purpose for you? Would you be willing to try that today? What do you think God wants to tell you? And then Peter makes a clear distinction between the highly revered King David and Jesus when he said, "But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Jesus, everyone who believes in him is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses." Wow! Look around now. Eyes are wide. Some mouths have dropped open here in the synagogue, aghast at what Paul just said. Could it be true? Could real forgiveness of sin be found in Jesus? Could God declare a human being justified, holy, sins forgiven, as they put their full trust in Jesus? Really? Luke tells us the people were deeply stirred by what Paul had said. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to return and speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Powerful truth had been spoken. Time was needed to think, ponder, pray, asking God to open their minds to understand his truth. I want to urge us all to do the same. Read or listen to the audio Bible dramatic reading of Acts chapter 13, verse 13 to 42, and then take some time to reflect, asking God to help you understand. If you were Barnabas, how would you have handled the obvious shift in leadership to Paul? Have you ever felt deserted by a close friend or even a family member? Do you know the story of Israel and Jesus as Paul explained it? What about your God-designed life purpose? Have you discovered it? Are you living it? Have you experienced the power, and do you have the certainty that God has forgiven your sins as you placed your full trust in Jesus? Here's a song to help you ponder these deep life truths, the kind of God truths that can transform our lives and bring healing and hope to our broken world, one person at a time. As you listen to the powerful words of this song, are they describing you, my Walking with Jesus friends, all around the world?